Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth, this is the 53rd edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria, and the title of today's message is Walk in the Spirit. We're going to focus on Romans chapter 8, verse 1, from the received text, not the Alexandrian text, but the received text that came out of the Church of Antioch, and 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. You know, many Christians, myself included, for over two decades, live lives, defeated lives, because we're not walking in the Spirit, but instead walking in the flesh. And why is that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because we're carrying around the burden of condemnation on our backs. You know, God doesn't want to push us away. He wants to draw us closer. But there are some conditions. So if you're weighed down by your sin in this life, this message will show you how to get right and stay right with God as you begin to routinely walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So let me ask you a question. Do you feel condemned today? If so, then follow Romans chapter 8, verse 1 in its entirety. And again, I'm saying in its entirety, not as it's translated in many of these modern versions. And here it is in its entirety from the received text out of the Church of Antioch. Read the end of chapter 18 and the beginning of chapter 19 in the book of Acts to understand what the Church of Antioch was all about. But it reads like this: there is, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And here's the part that's dropped off by most versions: who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Did you get that? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's the key. That's the key. You know, we've all heard of secret formulas. There's one for Coca-Cola. It's locked up in some safe down in Atlanta. You know, maybe your grandma had a favorite one for her own secret root beer. Or maybe your mom's got one for her great shortbread. But today we're going to learn the formula for true fellowship with God. It's walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is the secret hidden plan, hidden in plain sight in God's Word. And He even tells us how to get right and stay right with Him. So how do we get right and stay right with God? Well, the key is to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And the first thing we must do is we must have our sin exposed to the light. I'm going to read 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. And John wrote, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not know the truth. But if we walk in the light and He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us of all sin." You know, this is a passage dealing with sin, S-I-N, not our mistakes, our sin. And then notice what John writes in verses 8 through 10 that follow. "If we say then we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us." Have you ever heard this little saying? Life is short, death is sure, sin the curse, Christ the cure. Praise Jesus. So first of all, we have to understand what sin is, and this is what it is. It's a curse. And we must understand that God only forgives sin. He doesn't forgive mistakes. God doesn't judge us for our mistakes, nor does He convict or forgive them. He deals with the curse of sin. So if you call your sins mistakes, then you'll never deal with them. And if we don't deal with them, neither will God, until it's too late at either the white throne or the Bema judgment seats. So we need to call sin what sin is. It's a curse. It's the curse of sin. Praise Jesus. So open your life to God and ask the Lord. Just say, "Lord, what might I do to get right?" But beware. There are many people in positions of influence today that are teaching in our culture that we evolved from a pool of pond slime. This is a lie. And if you believe that, then you don't believe in sin and its curse upon humanity. You believe that what the Bible calls sin is just an incident or an accident or some sort of stumble upward as man's progressing towards what the world calls godhood. This is a lie, and this is the lie of evolution. It's ancient. It didn't start with Darwin. It's taught today by the Masons and other secret societies. It's their doctrine called on becoming, and it's their belief that we are becoming gods. You know, Darwin was just their patsy. His granddad was named Erasmus Darwin, and he was a Mason, and it was their plan, and it was fomented in the Royal Society. And this all happened two generations before Charles Darwin. And if you don't understand sin for what sin is, and if you don't see sin as an affront to the Most High and Holy God, a transgression of His law, if we call sin by any other name, a misjudgment, a malfunction, a mistake, a sickness, we'll never have fellowship with God. If we say that man is ill and not evil, if we say he's weak and he's not wicked, if we say he's sick and not sinful, if we say and teach that to our culture, then we're never going to deal with sin as we ought to, and we must. And we're never going to have fellowship with God. and walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In today's society, we have a burden of guilt without the sense of sin, and that's the problem. That's the problem. The burden of guilt is there, and it shows up in many ways in our society. But sadly, so many of us don't see ourselves as sinners needing to be forgiven. Instead, we see ourselves as people who made mistakes, who need to be fixed. And so we're trying to fix ourselves and somehow compensate for the problem or commiserate with it without getting cleansed. We need to be cleansed, and we need to be forgiven. But we're trying to be fixed without being forgiven. And it'll never work. This is the evolution, I'm telling you, of an ancient lie that began in the garden with Satan. In fact, it goes back before the garden to the fall in Isaiah. It goes back so far. And then it's continuing in the present through the bloodline of Cain. And it's so crucial to understand this. And here's how it goes down. First, we lie about sin to others, our sin to other people, then to ourselves, and ultimately to God. And when we begin to lie to God, we build this stone wall around us and God, and we shut out the convicting light of His most Holy Spirit. Then we're walking in darkness and not in His light. So we must expose ourselves to the light of His truth. You know, just say, "Here I am, God, search my soul, try me." Open yourself to God. This is the way to restoration, not punishment. Look what it says in verse 6 of John's letter. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Are you thinking, "Well, I thought that when I got saved, all of our sin, all of my sin was buried in the grave of God's forgetfulness. So why are you standing up there? Why are you standing up there talking on Blog Talk Radio about sin in the life of a believer? Why are you doing that, Broken?" Well, this is all about the warning that Jude gave us in verse 4, you know, where he warned us that people, certain men of renown, crept in unawares and are converting or perverting the gospel of grace into lasciviousness. You know, to understand this, we have to understand the child of God in two ways. You know, first, there's sonship, and then there's fellowship. Sonship is the blood relationship we have when we're truly born again. You know, we're born into the family of God, and we become sons of God by the Spirit of adoption. Read Romans chapter 8. And then it's settled. Jesus said, "It is finished." And when you're truly born into God's family, you can never be unborn. But then there's also this notion or concept of fellowship. And John wrote there in this epistle we're studying, if we say we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not have the truth. Now, I became a beer. That's my last name. When I was born into the beer family, and I can never be unborn, no matter what I might do, I'm my Father's child. Praise Jesus. So when we're truly saved, we're born into God's family. And we can never be cut out of God's family. You got it? That's called sonship. But if you disobey your Heavenly Father, that's a matter of fellowship. Sonship is once for all, whereas fellowship changes. So I was born a beer. I am a beer. That's my sonship. And I will be a beer for all eternity. Nothing can undo what happened at that moment when I was conceived and born into the beer family. Praise Jesus. That's fixed in time and space forever. That's an eternal fact. And it can never be changed. But there are many times when my dad would tell me to do things, and I just wouldn't do it. He'd say, "Cut the grass," and I wouldn't do it. Or my dad would say, "Would you clean the garage, please, while I'm at work today?" And I wouldn't clean the garage. Or he'd tell me to do this or do that, and I just wouldn't do it. So my fellowship with my dad would change based on my obedience. But my sonship never changed. And I believe that my dad had it right. Because I'm going to tell you this, he really knew how to apply his board of education to my seed of knowledge. He didn't spare the rod. And I'm telling you, he didn't spoil the child. Praise Jesus. I'm so grateful for the things my dad did when he brought me up. Now, the Bible says, "No chastening for the present time seems to be joyous but grievous. But afterward, he yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those that are exercised thereby. So God, like a loving father, chastens those whom he's received. And I'm going to warn you, if you're in sin and you're not being chastened, you better watch out what John says. He says you're a bastard and not a son. Beware. So remember, sonship is fixed by birth, but fellowship is determined by whether or not we obey the Father's commandments. So how do we expose our sin to the light of his truth? And please understand, in this context, the light is the Holy Spirit who convicts us of sin. Praise Jesus. So this is to show us how to have fellowship with God and walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's the purpose of this message. So to begin that, we need to understand the difference between conviction and condemnation. The Holy Spirit of God convicts us of sin, whereas the devil accuses or condemns us of sin. And there's a huge difference. And I want to get that point across to you. So we must understand this difference. So here is how the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. When we open ourselves up to the light and say, "Here I am, Lord, search my soul," the Holy Spirit will convict us in a couple different ways. And you'll see this happening and working in your life. First, he'll convict us legitimately. You know, he'll never convict us of an already confessed and repented sin. So that's a key. It's only those sins which are brought to the light of truth, that have never been brought to the light of truth, that he'll legitimately convict us of. All the other sins that we've already confessed on have been put away, have been buried forever, and are forgotten. For example, if I were to lie to my wife, Terry, and I repented of it and confessed my sin, God forgives, even if Terry doesn't. Now, later on, if I feel dirty about it, that isn't God, that's the devil. You know, God doesn't play double jeopardy. Do you ever notice how the devil deals with sin? First, he'll say, "Go ahead, do it. It won't hurt you. You won't get caught." And after you have the sin under your belt, so to speak, after you've sinned and you're convicted of your sin by the light of the truth, the Holy Spirit, and you repent, then the devil turns around. He just flips. It's so wild how he does it. He says, "You fool, God will never forgive you for that." That's condemnation. Remember, the devil's called the accuser of the brethren. He accuses you and me before God, and he accuses you and me in our own conscience. The devil will say, "Do you remember when you told that lie to your wife?" And then he'll continue to bring it up over and over and over again, and he'll torture you with it, even though you've repented of it and confessed it. But the Holy Spirit, he'll convict us of it legitimately. And then when we deal with it, we're done. And also, this conviction is specific. Whereas the devil will accuse us generally, the Holy Spirit convicts us of specific sins. You know, Satan will condemn us over anything or nothing, saying, "You're just no good, you're unworthy." And the truth is, we are unworthy. But in Christ, all things are made new. Praise Jesus. And we literally become the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Satan forgets to remind us of that part of the truth. And I'm going to tell you this. A half-truth said as a full-truth is a lie. Remember that. You see, the difference between the devil's general condemnation and the Holy Spirit's specific conviction is that the Holy Spirit will tell us exactly and precisely where we must deal with sin. Maybe it's a lie. Maybe it's arrogance, lust, or whatever. He'll put a name on it. He'll put a face on it. He'll put a date on it. And he'll put a time on it. And that way you know that it must be cleansed and it must be forgiven. And once it's done forever, and you repent and trust and then trust and obey. So the Holy Spirit will convict us legitimately and specifically. And then he'll convict us redemptively. And what I mean by that is he brings us back. The Holy Spirit convicts us so that we'll confess and come back into fellowship with him. That's what he desires. God wants to have fellowship with us. You know, Jesus did this 24/7. And that was called walking in the Holy Spirit, in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. He came as the Son of Man, laying aside or veiling his deity. Read Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. It shows us the way so that we too may walk, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Isn't that exciting? So when God deals with us as sons, he's not trying to get even with us. What he's doing is trying to restore us to fellowship. And that's so crucial. We must understand that. He hates it when our fellowship is broken. So he'll name the exact sin. And if we confess our sin and repent, he will forgive us and cleanse us. So he convicts us receptively. He's receiving us back into fellowship when he can fix us. Whereas the devil accuses us destructively, and it's so different. That's the difference between godly conviction and hellish condemnation. The Holy Spirit wants to draw us to confession, forgiveness, and fellowship, whereas the devil wants to drive us into accusation and despair and take us away from God. So just pray, Lord, here I am. Expose any unconfessed, unforsaken, unforgiven sin in my life and turn the searchlight of your holiness to my life. And when you do this, I promise you, the Holy Spirit will legitimately, specifically, and redemptively show you where the problem is. And then once you know the problem, what do you do with it? Well, you express your sin to the Lord. And what's that mean? Well, in verse 9 of John's letter, it reads, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So to confess means to say the same thing. And what that means is a confession of sin is not just an admission of sin. It's an agreement with God about that sin. What you're saying is, God, you said that sin is wrong, and I agree with you. That sin is wrong. It's grievous. So what you're saying about the sin is the same thing that God is saying about that sin. So to confess a sin means you name it, you knelt to the cross, and you agree with God. It's wrong. And when the Holy Spirit of God says, there's the problem, what he'll do is he'll reach out from heaven in some supernatural way, and he'll put his finger on the sore spot in your life. And then when you call that sin by name, when you confess it, it's forgiven. And when should you do this? When should you do this? This should be done immediately. The word confess is expressed in this scripture in the present tense. So you don't save up all your sins for the end of the day, or worse yet, for the end of the week, and confess them all at once. No, do it as soon as it happens, immediately, and carefully pray, Lord, I've sinned such and such, whatever it may be. I was wrong. I'm wrong. I repent, and I desire to get right with you again, Lord Jesus. Please forgive me of my sin and restore me into fellowship. Do it immediately. So this situation, this grievous curse known as sin, requires immediate action. Don't lay it aside for later in the day or later in the week. Just admit to God that you've sinned and that you need to be forgiven. Not that you've made a mistake and need to be fixed. Remember that. So once our sin is exposed and expressed, then we must expel the sin. We must become sensitive to sin like our eyes are sensitive to dirt. You know, the eye is one of the most sensitive parts of the body. And if you get a speck of sand in your eye, a friend of mine just told me about that last night at a ministry we have called Sozo's. He got a little piece of fiberglass in his eye. He ended up in the hospital and had to leave his welding rig on the job site. You know, if you get that speck of dirt in your eye during the day, you don't say, oh, I'll get that out at the end of the day. No. No, what happens is, you know, you say, I got to get that out immediately. You say, excuse me, this is urgent. You drop everything you're doing. I've got something in my eye, and I got to get it out right away. And why do you do that? Because that speck of dirt in your eye is an irritant. It hurts, and if it's left there, it may cause damage. Well, that's the truth about sin in our lives. We must deal with our sin and deal with it immediately and effectively. So just like we got to get the sand out of the light, out of our eye, we got to get the sin out of our lives, and we got to do it right away. And you know, since the Lord has shown me this truth, I'm doing this all the time. I say, Lord, that was wrong, or Lord, my attitude was wrong, or Lord, I did this or I did that. So the Holy Spirit puts his finger on that sore spot in you, and just like that, the Lord reminds me or gives me that, like, sensitivity. And I say, Lord, forgive me and cleanse me. So sadly, most of us aren't doing that. We ride what I call the spiritual roller coaster. You know, we may be real down. You may hear this message and you may get real high. You may repent of your sins and you're just riding up on the top of the crest of that roller coaster. Picture one at the Kennywood amusement park, you know. And then all of a sudden you get up to that crest and then you go way down. On the other side, you get down lower than you were before, way down, buried under a pile of unconfessed sin, and again, you're out of fellowship with God. And so many of us go along that way for so long. And then again, we come up to the next crest. There's a revival, and we're up again. But then before you know it, we're down again. And this happens over and over and over. And truly, most of the time, it's been under a pile of sin or getting out from under that stinking pile of sin. Isn't that right? That was my life for decades as a Christian. And so many of us are riding that spiritual roller coaster. Have you ever ridden it? I'm telling you, a lot of us ride it. And I know because I rode it, like I said, for 20 years. as a professing, confessing evangelical Christian. Now, let me tell you what the Lord showed me. He showed me what the spiritual life is, what it truly means to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, regardless of your circumstances, and to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, get this. The Spirit-filled life is not a life where you never sin again. Remember, if we say we have no sin, and we say that, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. John told us that in his letter. So, that's what the Holy Spirit-filled life isn't. And it's also not riding the spiritual roller coaster I just described, day in and day out. So if that's not what it is, what is it? Exactly what is it? Well, picture this. When you get convicted of your sins and you confess them, you get right with God. Now just picture you're going along, okay? And you're aware that a sin comes into your life. And you start going down. You're coming down the other side of that roller coaster. Immediately, and I mean immediately, confess it. Even if it was only a thought. Remember, we're to take every thought captive in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Just say, oh, dear God, that was wrong. Oh, I'm so sorry, Lord, I repent. Forgive me. That's the way it's supposed to be, just like that. And then you stay up in fellowship with the Holy Spirit all the time. So I call that the spiritual two-step. We should be constantly repenting and trusting. Repenting and trusting. And then once you get that two-step down, there's another spiritual two-step. It's called trusting and obeying, trusting and obeying. And then we're walking, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The second part of Romans, chapter 8, verse 1, praise Jesus. So the Spirit-filled life, walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, or walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, is a continual confession of sin. That is agreeing with God about your sin and doing something about it immediately and specifically each and every time it occurs. The point is, when the Holy Spirit of God can fix you specifically, then you must confess specifically and immediately. So don't just say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. He says, if we confess our sins, he says, name them. Call them out by name. You know that song we sing? It goes, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your many sins, name them one by one. It'll surprise you what you've done. So what we've got to do, we've got to say, Lord, I did this or that. We've got to confess it and repent of it. And I'm going to tell you what, when you begin to say, Lord, I did this, what a relief will come over you. Believe me, I'm doing it in my life, and it's amazing. Oh, what a relief there will be. You know, just say, God, I shouldn't have watched that. Forgive me. I'm sorry. It was wrong. I agree with you. That's a grievous sin. Just do it. So call that name sin. Call it out by name. Call it a sin. The Holy Spirit will convict you. And then confess it immediately and specifically. And also do it confidently. John wrote, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Don't you just love that? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So if God did not cleanse us and forgive us, he'd be a liar and a crook. He'd be unfaithful and unjust. But we know he's faithful and just. Praise Jesus. Why? Because he's the Most High God. And for those sins, Jesus, our beloved Lord and Savior Jesus, died so we can be absolutely, wonderfully, totally cleansed. It's beautiful. What an incredible gift God gave us. What God calls clean, let no man call unclean. It'll be gone, never, ever to be brought up again, ever against you, ever, because he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What an awesome way to live, praise Jesus, because when you're clean, what happens? When you're clean, you have fellowship with God and fellowship with one another. We're walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, as the second part of Romans 8:1 says. So there's nothing like being clean with God. You know how good you feel when you get up in the morning, take a shower, brush your teeth? You know how your body and mouth feels? Well, when you're right with God, when you're clean with God, you feel like that all over, body, soul, and spirit. That's what being clean and right with God is. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Praise Jesus. He cleanses us of all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. It's exciting. Lord, thank you for your word. And, oh, Father, I pray today that many hearing this message might know the joy of that burden of sin being lifted and gone forever. You know, the devil, he loves to accuse. But, Lord, you love to convict and cleanse us and restore us. So thank you, Father God, for that. Thank you. And now, would you, my friends out there listening to this, just like God loved you a little bit right now, remember you're his child. And if you've been out of fellowship with him, he wants to call you back right now. He wants to say to you, he just wants to say with you, confess your sins, and I'll cleanse them. Repent and trust, and then trust and obey, and then walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Just do it. Just do it, and you'll see a miracle happen. So just thank him for his almighty love for you and me, and just do it. I love you all. Have a great day walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit.
Said every day that I wake, I want to start my day. Some people want to please you in a church building, but I want to please you in everything I'm doing. Oh, yeah. Giving up all of me, worship your majesty, worship every day, not just one day a week. Worship you in my heart, I knocked in the four walls, Jesus. I know it displeases you. Sometimes the evil pleads for us more than you. Lord, our hearts are so far from you. But now I'm searching for you. Holy Spirit, walk with me. I don't want to see your presence holy when I'm in a church. This temple must be clean. Flesh must die, spirit must be seen. Holy Spirit, walk with me. I don't want to see your presence holy when I'm in a church. This temple must be clean. Flesh must die, spirit must be seen. So I enter in a spiritual fitness, burning flesh, eating spiritual food. As my faith grew through reading the word, a hunger came wanting more of you. My flesh got weak because my spirit man gained strength. That a diet that took out every little flesh. Like how we have a shower every day to stay clean, we have to put more spirit in our daily life. Holy Spirit, walk with me. I don't want to see your presence only when I'm in a church. This temple must stay clean. Flesh must die, spirit must be seen. Holy Spirit, walk with me. I don't want to see your presence holy when I'm in a church. This temple must stay clean. Flesh must die, spirit must be seen. Oh, I will trust in you with my heart and my feelings.